The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni channel, welcome back to YOLO, the magnificent messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now we've had a little bit of a break because we had the beautiful month of Milad-e-Pak, and then we had the beautiful month of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We had Madni Muzakras, and then we had some illnesses as well. And Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we're all well, we're all back. Some of us are back in a very special way, which I'll tell you about in a few moments. But let's start with the blessing of Durud-e-Pak. Now, every morning when we get up, we have lots of things on our mind. We have lots of needs. And sometimes we think, I'll ask him for this, I'll go to him, I'll try this. And you think, how am I going to fulfill my needs for the day? Some days are more intense than others. Let me give you a beautiful way to start your day. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durud-e-Pak upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jal fulfills 100 of his needs, 70 in the hereafter and 30 in this world. Subhanallah. What a beautiful way to start your day. Get up in the morning, pray your Fajr Salah, and then just sit down with this intention that I've got lots of needs today. I need all sorts. So instead of begging the people or asking others, why don't I beg in the court of the Creator Supreme and use the vasila of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite Durud-e-Pak 100 times. It takes 5 minutes, 7 minutes maximum, and then present your supplications in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Durud-e-Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before and after your dua is the key to it being accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now we were discussing the beautiful and the perfect life of a great messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. This messenger has been mentioned the most in the glorious Quran. What style did he have? How beautiful he was. How superb his ways were. Wow. Subhanallah. I'm talking about none other than the great Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was in a league of his own. Oh, wow. When we learnt over the few weeks that we discussed his beautiful life, how, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him. How at the time, the Firaun of the time had a dream. He was having children slaughtered, and yet Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam survived. And you'll remember how the Quran tells us that his mother was commanded to put him in a basket and let him go down the river. And then his sister was watching where he went. And they were expecting him to go down the river and go to a safe place. And they were trying to protect him from Fir'aun. But the way that the Creator Supreme works is amazing. Because that basket went down a tributary and straight into the palace of Fir'aun. And you remember that they saw this child and Fir'aun thought, this might be the child that these people, the astrologers are telling me, is going to bring down your kingdom. But his wife, Hazrat Athiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this she accepted Islam later on, she said, what a beautiful child. And why don't we adopt him? They didn't have children. And they adopted him as a son. And you know what the scholars write? Something beautiful I'll share with you. I'm sure I mentioned this last time. That the scholars say that the reason that Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was granted the treasure of Iman was that when she first looked at the beautiful face of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, love developed in her heart for this beautiful child. And she said, look at this beautiful child. It was because of the love of this prophet that Allah Azza wa Jal granted her a very high status amongst the women of the world. Subhanallah. So, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam grew up in the house of Fir'aun. We talked about that. And then after an incident, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa al-Islam left the town and went and met another great messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you remember we talked about Hazrat Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salam and his pious daughters, and how Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam eventually married one of his daughters, and then they spent some time there with Hazrat Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and then they left. And then as they were walking past a mountain, no ordinary mountain, an amazing mountain, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked his companion, his wife, to wait, and they went up onto this mountain and they saw an amazing tree. They saw this amazing sight, and it was a call directly from Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you remember Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had a stick Mubarak in their hand, and they were told to put it down and it became a serpent. And we went through all of that. Then he was sent to Fir'aun. And through the dua of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, you remember that Hazrat Harun alayhi salam was given the status of prophethood. So these brothers went to the court of Fir'aun and they challenged him. And then the magicians came, and you'll remember what happened with that. And then Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did the work of deen, gave the tabligh. And I think that's about where we left it. Having Fir'aun having lost, the magicians having accepted Islam, and then the next was that Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was preaching amongst the people, the Bani Israel, and that's where we left it. So that's a brief recap of where we were. And today, inshallah, we're going to take you through to the final part of this magnificent journey of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and give you some small glimpses of his amazing life. Now, as you used to, we usually have our beloved Shiraz Bhai. We've got him today as well, but in a very unusual way. He's not in the studio, actually. But Jazba, alhamdulillah, and our Madni Channel team as well, they're all brilliant. Shiraz Bhai, are you on the line?
I'm here. Listen to you on the way.
MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. So I've just kind of given our viewers a quick recap of where we were. I remember we were roughly, because it's been a few weeks actually, but we dealt with the incident of the magicians and their reversion to Islam and how Fir'aun threatened them. And I think then Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was preaching, and then the different, because there were two sects, wasn't there? I think you mentioned last time there were the Qibtis, and then there was the other sect, the Bani Israel. And Allah sent lots of punishments or lots of signs to these people to try and for them to mend their ways. And every time a plague hit them, a calamity hit them, they came to their knees. They came to the court of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. They asked him to do dua. And I remember vaguely, that was one of our last episodes. They asked him to do dua. He makes dua. The plague disappears. The famine disappears. Or the blood. I think at one point there was blood and frogs and locusts and everything else. And all these different punishments were sent to them. And they'd repent and go back to their old ways.
Yeah, so there was a few stages, Rumai. So initially it was the Fir'aun and his people were oppressing the Bani Israel, the Qibti, and there was like this colonization. Mm. And then Musa alayhi salam was sent to end this oppression, because they were really oppressing these vulnerable people, the lower class people of the society. Musa alayhi salam was sent to stop that. When he went to the Shajaratul Nida and he received wahi, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him that now go and preach to Fir'aun and propagate this message, deliver this message to him. And the message was that stop your oppression and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lift your zulm up from these people, and you stop, just be united. Stop, stop exploiting their vulnerability
and oppressing them.
And now what happened was, when the magic happened, when it was a mu'jiza, when Musa alayhi salam, he threw his staff onto the floor and he turned into a serpent. and all the magicians of the city basically fell into sajda and worshiped the god of Harun and Musa, as described in the Quran. Fir'aun got really angry after that. And then there was conversations that, you know, explain how your Lord is true, X, Y, Z. And then this mu'jiza happened. Now from there, Fir'aun lost his mind, kind of. And he began to threaten him. He began to, you know, say different things, that I'm going to, you know, crucify you between the trunk of a tree, and different types of, you know, threats he gave to Musa al-Islam. But people began to accept Musa al-Islam. So on one side, Fir'aun's trying to remember from his dream, he was trying to protect his empire. And that was his biggest, you know, that dream was a nightmare, where he's seen someone's coming and taking over his empire, and his empire finishes. And now he knows it, okay, it's in front of me. And his eyesight and his heart spiritually became blind, so Fir'aun couldn't see reality. And he began to make these threats against Musa al-Islam. Then it got to such a point, this oppression, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa al-Islam that you must do hijrat from here as well. So Musa al-Islam and his brother Harun, they left that area. And where they went to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, commanded them that you all make houses, pray within them houses, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this happened, but the oppression didn't stop. And that's when it was an unusual turn in events, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to punish them through divine punishments, the heavy rain when there was floods, the locusts, the gnats, the frogs. Where, you know, it was mentioned that every time they would take a morsel of food, a frog would land in their mouth, in their pockets, wherever. That punishment was a crazy punishment in one sense. It's something that, you know, it is something scary when stuff like that. And then the, you know, the most scariest, alarming one is where the entire rivers of water turned into blood. And if they had like a container of water stored overnight, in the morning it was blood.
Allahu Akbar.
When this happened, they went to Musa al-Islam and they asked, you know, Fir'aun, he got so angry and furious, he went to Musa al-Islam. He literally lost his mind. His thought process didn't function properly. And he began to make comments that say, I'm going to assassinate Musa al-Islam, or I'm going to get him killed. But from his courtyard, one of his ministers stood up. He was a stranger to Musa al-Islam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a certain person within his empire who stood up and said, now look, what he said was interesting. He said, look, if what Musa al-Islam is saying, that lie is upon him, if it is wrong, right, that will be against him. But if he is right,
Allahu Akbar,
then the punishment will land upon us, and everything we have, we will lose our entire kingdom. We have more to lose if he is right. This is what this man said to Fir'aun.
That's very logical and a very good way of putting it, because a lot of people deny things. So it's like when you're speaking to, say, somebody who doesn't believe in Allah.
In God,
It's a very logical thing. That
if they think logically, then, you know, it brings them back, doesn't it? And that's the thinking there, mashallah.
But when this happened and Fir'aun realized that, like, people are listening to him, he's inspiring people, he's influencing people in favor of Musa al-Islam, and what he's saying is having a knock-on effect against Fir'aun and his empire. Now, Fir'aun diverted the entire conversation and he went to his minister, Haman, a very famous verse where he says to his minister that, make me a structure that will exceed the limits of the skies. He says that, make me some sort of structure. And Haman was his minister of masonry. He was his builder, basically. His architecture. He would construct these buildings for him.
And we know that they built amazing buildings. lot of them are still, there are archaeological sites in Egypt. So they built these amazing, you know, they were builders like nobody had ever seen before. Even, you know, centuries later, thousands of years later, today, people are still mesmerized by the structures.
Still, like, you're thinking, how are these made? And everyone has their own conspiracy.
Yeah.
So whoever he was, and you know, his actual statue in a certain museum, I was doing some research, his statue still exists of Haman. He was the actual.
I know that the body of Pharaoh exists because the Glorious Quran says as well, the body of Pharaoh exists, I think it's in Cairo Museum. But these structures, I mean, my theory is that it was just oppression of the weak. And although today where people are baffled by how they managed to build these big structures with these big stones and everything else. But when it came to it, he had hundreds and thousands of people working as slaves day and night. So it was a sign of more of the oppression of Pharaoh rather than anything else.
We're going to get onto that point, you know, about the body of Pharaoh. And I think I mentioned it previously as well, Rumba, you know, preserve the body of Pharaoh for the universe, for the people, the civilization to see. What he specifically mentions there, what this verse entails is that, so 5 days after the drowning of Pharaoh, which we'll get onto, his body was chucked back out of the river. The river didn't want to accept his body. And it was to show the people to, you know, take Ibrah to ponder over, you know, what will happen to a person. So if, suppose now, someone was to carbon date that body that's in a certain museum, to find out the date, we know that that verse entails or implies the fact that his body was released by the river 5 days after. Then, now, what Pharaoh's done, he has diverted the conversation, and he's specifically said to Haman, you make me a building, and I'm going to climb into the sky, and I'm going to, basically, in my words, I'm going to find this God, and I'm going to prove to everyone that there is no God. And he basically diverted the entire conversation. And now, these things continued, and then, you know, a building was made and various different things happened. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam that look, basically at that point the oppression was at such a peak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam that you leave this area.
Just that, so he was foolish enough, Haman and Pharaoh, that they actually built a structure which is like a tower all the way into the sky, just to see Allah Azza wa Jalla. I mean, how foolish were they?
It was a public stunt to change the entire, because you have to understand, the media of that time wasn't the way we have media now. Media at that time is everyone watching something in the courtyard of the palace. So whilst, you know, you could imagine a person making this crazy announcement saying, look, and he's influencing people. And then Pharaoh had to say something to save his empire. And this is the only thing his mind could come up with.
So it was more of a deception against the people. So deception. What he was going to say is, look, I've climbed into the skies and I can't see your God. And therefore I am your God. Because he claimed to be God, didn't he?
Yeah, that's why he was. Yeah. So there's two opinions. Some say he was an atheist. He didn't believe in a God completely. And then some say, okay, it was that, but he used to make people worship him.
There was a time when he was about to accept the invitation to righteousness by Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and when he went to discuss it with Haman, he put him off and said, no, you are in yourself. Why would you want to worship another God when you are being treated as God? And then he left.
The bad influence of his friend.
Bad influence of his friend. Sorry. So basically, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam,
now he's very angry. He wants to now assassinate Musa alayhi salam. And he is basically making plans of how to do that. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is commanded to leave Egypt.
So basically, he was commanded to leave Egypt, Misr. what happened was, it was as he was leaving with all his followers, from recollection, I think it was 200,000 of them. Fir'aun thought that there's only a few of them, we could trap them. And, so he left towards the river, basically. And this was the end for Fir'aun. This was where his everything ends. It's like the final scene in the story of Musa and Fir'aun. So so he says to his mushirs, the people who he takes mashwara from, that look, let's go on and trap them. Let's finish them all off. They can't run away from us. They followed them. Musa alayhi salam was, you know how he
said they left by night, didn't they? As it said, Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel, they left in the night. And then in the morning, I think Fir'aun discovered that they had left. And then he gave chase.
Yeah. So as they basically reached the river, now Musa alayhi salam and then Bani Israel behind him, they're like, look, Fir'aun and their army is behind us. They're going to be trapped now. What do we do?
And whether it's the river, even if it was a river, it was a big river. And so the river or the sea. And now they're in trouble, aren't they? Because they've left Fir'aun. They've tried to run away. The Fir'aun's chasing them with his massive army. And there's water in front of them. Fir'aun behind them. They're trapped. They've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, and right now you have to understand Fir'aun and his army, they believe that that's it. We're going to end him here and this end of all that threat that he had over
and
his empire.
And the people of Bani Israel, I mean, the glorious Quran tells us that they used to slaughter their sons and leave their daughters alive. So these were people who were tyrants. They were no doubt going to slaughter every single one of them for running away. So you could imagine that the distress or the dire state of the people, they were thinking, we've had it now, because we've got this tyrant with his hundreds of thousands of army coming now, and he's going to just, and we've got nowhere to go, he's going to just slaughter us all, and we're that's the end of us. But little did they know what was to come.
And now, once they reached the river, everyone's looking onto Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, and even at that point, you would see the Bani Israel is entrapped between this river and this army. And I was looking towards Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he does, you know, prays to his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to hit his staff onto the sea.
So this is all pre-planned, wasn't it? I mean, Allah Azzawajal is the best of planners. Because the glorious Quran tells us, doesn't it, that Allah Azzawajal commanded Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam to leave in the night with the Bani Israel. And so, and the path and the designation, the Nabis of Allah Azza wa Jal have the amazing knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal grants them of the unseen. So the path and the route Musa alayhi salam took, he was familiar with it. He knew exactly where he was going. So, you know, this is amazing, because it's not a case of suddenly Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam leaves with these hundreds and thousands of people, but he's got, he kind of accidentally comes across the river. He knew where he was going.
SubhanAllah.
So the people come to him. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying, so the people come to him and they ask him, they say, what are you going to do? It's an interesting question, that. What are you going to do now? You know, you brought us from our village. What are you
going to do? If you rewind it all the way back when he went with Harun and knocked on the palace of Fir'aun, it all started from there, didn't it? It all started from the day where the wife of Fir'aun found him between the water and the tree.
SubhanAllah.
From there, when he had to pick up the coal and the gold, which one was it? He picked up the coal. So his trial started from there. And now he's got to that trial where, right, Musa alayhi salam, what do you do now? So what he does is the ocean separate. The ocean separate. And various different things happen when the ocean separates. Some say that if anyone had... I've read this in a certain tafsir, that if anyone had even a container of water, the water in that container separated as well. Yani the water in all, everywhere around the world is separated, went into two halves, two sides. So when this ocean, this river, this huge river, it completely separated into two sides. So on one side, it was a wall of water, which was being held back. And on the left side, again, a wall of water being held back by some certain force, a divine force.
SubhanAllah. Just before you go into that, Shiraz, I just wanted to come back to one thing. Because the what the scholars write here is something very interesting. It's something that helps us. Because a lot of the time, people have this misconception that you shouldn't ask the Nabis of Allah for help. Mm. And that you should ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa, the glorious Quran tells us here, when the Bani Israel came to him and said, help us, what are you going to do now? He didn't say, well, look, pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one who helps. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa, salam, knowing the power that the Creator Supreme had given him, used his Asa Mubarak to hit the water and it split into two. So doesn't that prove our
Akida? Right from the start, you know, when the wife of Fir'aun said to Fir'aun, look, either we take him as a child or we take him as someone that will may bring benefit for us.
Allah.
This child may either benefit us, yani give us naf'a, and that's, you know, when we seek help from someone, that's what we want. We want naf'a from the benefit. So even right from the start of his life, and then during basically when the punishments came, each time they went to Musa alayhi salam, because they knew, we asked Musa alayhi salam, this punishment will get lifted. And then towards the end as well, they're like, no, all eyes are on Musa.
SubhanAllah. He was the center of attention and he was beautiful as well. So Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, instruct basically the water parts. And the scholars even write that the ground that was left, it wasn't soggy and wet, it was dry.
It was dry, SubhanAllah.
And the Bani Israel then start to go through, and they were in different tribes as well, weren't they? I think there were 12 tribes, weren't there?
Yeah, there were 12 different, yeah.
So they start to cross this amazing river, and they've got walls of water. I'm not talking about small walls. I mean, you're talking meters high by their side. And this was the great miracle of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and they start to come across. And once they're in the midst of this, so in the middle of this, then our villain arrives, doesn't he?
So they were reaching towards the end of it. I remember there was a gap between, so from the people of Bani Israel and Fir'aun's army, there was a gap. And you know, in the past, they didn't have GPS trackers, but they would follow traces of, you know, footprints or the horses, the shoe that follow prints. Or traces on the ground. So they were behind, right, in a distance. So when the Bani Israel, in their number, crossed, right, by that time Fir'aun had caught up with his army, right? So once Bani Israel were on the other side, Fir'aun and his army were inside the entire, you know, the surface, the riverbed. And then that's when the tides begin to just close in on them.
So, the amazing Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, you know, when the Bani Israel come to him, and they say, right, we've had it now, the glorious Quran says, okay, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, no doubt my Lord is with me and he will show me the way. And suddenly he uses Asa Mubarak. Now, as they're traveling through, Fir'aun comes, he sees this. Now, I just wanted to pause there for a second, Shirazi, because Fir'aun has come, and in front of him is unfolding one of the greatest miracles the world has ever seen. I mean, this sea is parting into two. It's made a way for the Bani Israel. There are walls of water at either side, yeah? And the ground is dry, and the Bani Israel are walking through it with all that stuff that they had, you know. And yet, having seen that, Fir'aun and his army still don't see sense. They don't wake up to the reality. And this is how blind people can be. It reminds me of the Kuffar of Makkah. You know, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, when they saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam split the moon into two, they still wouldn't accept. And wasn't that the same situation that Fir'aun? I mean, in front of him here is one of the greatest miracles the world has ever seen. If he had even an ounce worth of intelligence, he would have said, this has to be the Prophet of Allah.
what happened was, when he got into the center, right, that's when he actually, he says in the verse, قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ. He actually said that, I believe that there is no one worthy of worship except the one whom the Bani Israel believe. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says that I am a believer, I am a... I fall into testification as well.
Yeah, Mufti Sahib writes, mashallah, you know, set it out that he got to the stage where he decided, I'm going to let my armies go. And he said, well, the way's there, chase them. So he wanted to still, despite seeing this amazing sign, this amazing miracle, he was power hungry and he was a tyrant, so he chases them. So he goes into the water. Now, up until this stage, and this is a very important point that some of the scholars write, up until the stage that Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was still in that valley of water, the water stayed by the side. So Fir'aun had entered at one end.
Yeah.
But the water remained through the barakat of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the water remained. As soon as the last of the Bani Israel crossed the other side, then the water takes over. And now Fir'aun, his entire, and the other, I suppose, the other wisdom or beauty or, you know, the fact was that by this time, most of Fir'aun's army had already entered. So they were slap bang in the middle of it, and then suddenly the water came, and they all drowned. And it was at that stage, wasn't it, that Fir'aun said, okay, I now accept the Lord of the Bani Israel. But it was too late then. And the scholars write that the reason... It wasn't accepted from him because he repented, didn't he? And he accepted Islam. But it was too late because he had seen death, hadn't he?
He basically seen the angels.
There's another vakiyah related to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam that Mufti Sahib writes. What he says is that Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam brought a question to the court of Fir'aun. And the question was that if a king has a slave, and the king gives him everything, blesses him with all the ni'mats and gives him a nice house and gives him everything, and then that servant becomes ungrateful and denies the king, then what should be done with that servant? And it's actually Fir'aun wrote the answer to that. And he said, that servant should be drowned in the river. Allahu Akbar. And that was exactly what happened to Fir'aun. That was exactly. So he had actually predicted his own downfall in an ironic way by answering that question. So he then at that moment says, I accept the Lord of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But that iman at that stage, it's too late. And because, like you said very beautifully, that it's belief in the unseen. Rather than, you know, and at that stage, Fir'aun had seen the angel of death. So accepting Islam at that stage isn't going to help him because it's too late. And this is why I suppose Allah Hazrat writes in the Mirror Sunnah emphasizes that, you know, you should be scared of Allah Azza wa Jal, because even though we're blessed with Iman, you don't know whether you're going to die with Iman, because the key to it is dying with Iman. And the shaitan will try everything before you leave this world to try and make sure that you don't die with Imam, because that's the ultimate success, isn't it?
You see, you know, Imam Alama Ismail Haqqi, he's the writer of Ruhul Bayan. He's a very spiritual. He's from the Sufiya, one of the disciplined people. What he says is that, and it's a good way to understand the battle of Musa and Fir'aun in this way as well. He says that the Fir'aun is the nafs, right? The desires, the ego, right? Haman is the shaitan who's giving these bad whispers, instructing you to do bad all the time. And Fir'aun is the actual ego. And Musa is the individual who is fighting against the nafs all the time.
Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful example. What an amazing example.
You know, later on, when a lot of things happen in Musa alayhi salam's time as well, when he says, Ya Allah, I want to see you. Right, so what the Musannif does, he says that what the verses actually imply, he says that, but he gives a second meaning as well. He gives you like a vision or understanding, an indication. And he says that once you've killed your desires, right, and you're immune to Shaitan's waswasa, after all this, Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, Azza wa Jalla, I want to see you. And only once you've killed your desires and you put everything in the past and you freed yourself, not from oppression, but from, you know, controlling your desires, right? You put everything in the past. Now you will feel and the love in worshiping.
That special enlightenment. Yeah. I mean,
that manifestation.
That manifestation. It's amazing, Shiraz, how you have the main lessons from the story. But then our pious predecessors have taken the spiritual lessons from the same story as well. I mean, all the way through, I'm fascinated by that. I'm sure the viewers of Madni Channel are as well, that we've heard about Haman and Fir'aun and Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and how the battle unfolded. But look at the pious predecessors and their vision and their thought, how they've taken that situation and said, there was more to this. There was a spiritual side to this. Haman was the shaitan and Fir'aun was the nafs. And Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was the one who was battling against them both, and alhamdulillah defeated them. And once he defeats them, then you get,
I guess, the pleasure of Allah.
Vision. There was that couplet, wasn't it? It's in Punjabi, but karle dil di safai je didar chahida. You know, once you cleanse your heart, once you cleanse your mind, once you cleanse your spirit, then you reach those great heights.
There's another shirk from Dr. Iqbal. He says that none of you desire the hoors of Jannat. Jalwa-e-tur to maujood hai Musa nahi. That the vision, the manifestation, that unity still exists. But there's no Musa. Musa doesn't exist. What he's trying to say is that, Subhanallah. Well, what he's basically indicating, what he's telling us that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting. You could always please Him whenever you want. But you're not even thinking about Jannah. You're not even thinking about the hereafter. You're thinking about the dunya. If you fight your desires, you get over everything, you will attain the real success. Do you know, if sometimes people, youngsters ask this question, if you had one wish, what would it be? Some ask the question, you know, what is true success? And you know, the ultimate success, even Jannat, if someone says that, why does a person want to go to Jannat? The ultimate success for any believer is that one day, that creator that has created him, he created his soul many years ago, he created his body many years ago, resurrected his body, you know, put him through trials, tests, sustained him throughout existence. One day he's going to be present in front of that creator. That is the true success, that when he is present in front of that creator after having believed in him for his entire life, after every time an affliction came to him, he had in his mind and his heart, in his spirituality, that Allah will reward me one day. Allah will reward me one day.
This, in this amazing story of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, what we actually have is a battle of the shaitan, the nafs, and the good self. And this is how, the way that Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam taught us to fight, as he fought Fir'aun and Haman, we need to fight our nafs. And this is where I suppose it comes back to the Dr. Iqbal shared, ki khudi ko kar buland itna ki har tadbeer se pehle khuda khud bande se puche bata teri raza kya hai. Ki when you fight the shaitan and the nafs and you've cornered them, and you know your desires don't dictate, you don't sit there watching filth and this and that, and you spend your life in accordance with the Quran and the hadith and the sunnah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will reach those great heights where you will start to see things. You will start to have visions. You will start to have dreams. And in your dreams, you will see the sweet Medina. Allah Azawajal shows all the beautiful Kaaba and the sweet, sweet Medina time and time again. Shiraz Bhai, Jazakallah Khair for taking time out from your Madni Kafila. Jazakallah for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And mashallah, thank you very much to the Madni Channel team because it wasn't easy.
Congratulations.
Doing this program. Mashallah, they've done a fantastic job. Honestly, I'm really, hand on heart, to take two mubaligs from two different sides of the country. And mashallah, it was just like a normal program. Mashallah, well done to the Madni Channel team as well.
So we're just going to finish off the amazing story of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Now, from the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, we see that how hard he had to work, how hard he had to fight against a tyrant. Today, in this day and age, sometimes we're surrounded by difficulties and we give up. We shouldn't give up. The life of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam gives us an example. Hundreds and thousands of these Qibtis and the Kuffar, and one Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam with his brother Harun alayhi salam, and they stood up. And what happened? They were the successful. This is what we need to do. We need to be successful. Mufti Sahib actually confirms and writes in the book that the body is there because the glorious Quran says, Ke aaj hum teri lash ko bachayenge. So the body of Fir'aun was preserved as a lesson for the future generations. And so the lesson in it for us is this, that if you are arrogant, if you are a tyrant, if you deny Allah Azza wa Jal, if you fail to repent in time, then there will be grave consequences. And you will be made an example of, as Fir'aun was. Inshallah, we're going to continue from there next week. We're going to move on to our second topic, inshallah. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, our topic today is the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. Who are the friends of Allah Almighty? You know, a lot of people, they don't understand this concept. And they say, well, what are you talking about? Who are these people? Why are they so special? Do they exist? And a lot of people, out of ignorance, deny their existence. So today, we wanted to talk about the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I'm going to begin, and hopefully, inshallah, in a few minutes, we'll have our beloved Usman Bhai with us as well. And he will cast some scholarly light on this subject as well. But the question is, when you speak to youngsters these days, and you say, you know, the Valis of Allah Azza wa Jal, the likes of the great Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, the great Hazrat Data Ganj Baksh Ali Hajveri rahmatullah alayhi, or Hazrat Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullah alayhi, all these great saints, these great Valis, these great friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, and their saintly miracles, their amazing teachings. Some people deny them. They say, no, where is it in the Quran and Hadith? You know, how can you say that these people could do these amazing feats? Yet, it's just a deception of the shaitan. In today's era, we get all these superheroes with superpowers on our screens. And even though we know they're fake, we tend to kind of mentally accept. And sometimes we even fantasize about having superpowers. But these people actually existed. Allah Azza wa Jal no doubt granted his beloved prophets, as we've been discussing for the last 8 months, superpowers, amazing powers. Allah Azza wa Jal granted his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most miracles and the most powers out of anybody, all the prophets put together. But as well as the prophets, there are certain special friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, who have these powers and these blessings. Now, I just wanted to kind of ponder upon some of this, because when we give stories like Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, it sat with some of his students, and he was a great teacher. You know, some of his lectures were attended by hundreds of thousands of people, and one of the miracles was, and this was because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put their saliva mubarak, their lu'abi dahan mubarak, into the mouth of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala 7 times and said, go my son and do speeches. And, you know, it was amazing how he was able to deliver speeches. And one of the miracles was, saintly miracles was, that the people at the front could hear the same way and the people at the back could hear exactly the same. This is amazing. And you had, in any of his lectures, you had thousands of people, scholars at the front, and then at the back you had normal people, and hundreds of thousands and millions came into the fold of Islam through the teachings of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala. So it was his teachings, it was his methods, it was his work of deen that was most amazing. His miracles were magnificent, But it was the real miracle of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala was his amazing teaching. So I'd encourage you to read his books. But one of the stories that we have of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and he's one of those walis whose miracles are so many that the scholars write that you could, the frequency of them was quite regular, and you could write books on just the miracles of, saintly miracles of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala. So one of the miracles was that he sat with his students, and suddenly he puts his hand out, and the hand disappears, and after a short time the hand comes back and it's all wet, his arm's wet. So the students say, "Ya Sayyidi, what is this?" So he says, "It's okay, you carry on." So they carry on studying, and sometime later, a lot of people arrive, and they're all kind of wet and everything else, and they say that we're here to thank the great Shaykh. So they ask, "What do you mean, thank the great Shaykh? What's happened?" They said, "Well, we were on a boat. We were in the ocean, the boat was drowning, it was in a storm, and we didn't think we were going to get to the side, so we called out to the great Shaykh. We said, Ya Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Shayyan Lillahi, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, help us. And suddenly an arm appeared, it stabilized the boat, we came to the side, so we came to the court of the great Shaykh to thank him for saving us." The students were amazed by this. So the great Shaykh Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala had sat there, and through the power that Allah gives to his friends, he helped them. So the mind kind of thinks, how is that right? How can you do that? How does that work? And then you start to question. Now some people, they question this, and they say, that can't be right. How can that happen? Where is it in the Quran? But that's where the problem is. A lot of us, we tend to ask that question, but when was the last time we read the glorious Quran? When was the last time we read the translation of the glorious Quran? When was the last time we studied the tafsir of the Quran? So that we could confidently say, this is in the Quran, this isn't in the Quran. A lot of the time, to confuse the youngsters, people say, oh, it's not in the Quran. And yet, that is a lie. And the people who perpetrate this lie should be fearful that they're perpetrating a lie against Allah and His Habib and the glorious Quran. So, if one picks up the glorious Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in this amazing book the waqia, the story of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was an amazing prophet. He had such a great and grand court. He had amazing courtiers. He had not only men, but he had jinns. Not only jinns, but he had animals and birds and insects, everything. He was an amazing king and a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, and even though I was reading yesterday or the day before, even though Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam was one of those kings who ruled the world, he actually worked for a living to earn halal. And he used to weave baskets and make fans and other things. But that's another story. Anyway, the court of Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam, there was a land, there was a queen who was ruling it, and you remember the Huppy bird, you know, the Hudhud, it brought back the message, that it brought back the news that there was they were worshipping the sun. Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam writes a letter to this queen saying, come to me obediently, starts it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and that's the Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, that is in the glorious Quran in one of the Ayah Mubarakas. And she decides to come, and she's not far away, and Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam is sat in this grand court. Now imagine this scene. He sat in this grand court, there are jinn, men, everybody there. And as the Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam says, who can bring me the throne of this queen before she arrives? She's not far away. The throne is back in Yemen. It is, the scholars write, 80 yards by 80 yards approximately. It is seven layers on it. It is decorated with diamonds and curls, coral and pearls and all sorts of things. You know, it's beautiful. It's a sign of, you know, the fact that she was the queen. And she locks it away in seven doors. So Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam says, who can bring me that throne before she arrives? And she's not far away, a few miles away. So a jinn gets up. He says, I am strong. I am trustworthy. I can get this for you. Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam asks him, how long is it going to take you? He says, well, by the time you finish this gathering, a few hours maybe, something like that. And his intention, no doubt, was, I'm going to fly to Yemen very quickly. He's a jinn. I'm going to break down the doors. I'm going to pick the throne up and I'm going to carry it all the way back. Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam says, no, I've got better ones than you. Sit down. Then the glorious Quran tells us that the Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Asif ibn Barkhiya radiallahu ta'ala, he stands up. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam asks the same question, how long? He says, twinkling of an eye. Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam blinks and the throne is in front of him. He says, this is the blessing, the mercy of my Lord. Now just think of that. This is the Wali in the court of the Prophet. If that's the power of the Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, then can you imagine the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, the power he had, he could have got the throne as well. But he wanted to show the people the power of the Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And not only that, Allah Azza wa Jal noted this in the glorious Quran, because Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to show us what amazing powers He gives His special people, the Walis of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the throne appears before Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, just one other thing there. This was a Wali of the Ummah of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Can you imagine the power of a Wali of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And let me remind you that Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was one of those who said in Masjid Al-Aqsa Sharif on the night of Mi'raj, Pichay's khubsurat imam ke Allahu Akbar. You know, this beautiful Prophet in front of us. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Imamul Anbiya, the leader of all the Prophets. And a lot of people try to mislead our youngsters, our youth, by saying there's nothing in the Quran which mentions anything about Walis. They don't know the Quran, they don't understand it. My encouragement to you would be that go and get a copy of the English Quran, Kanzul Iman, download it free from DawatIslami.net, go and buy it from Maktabat al-Madina stalls, attend the Thursday Ijtamaz of Dawat Islami, and they're happening all over the UK. Find your local one, and there'll be a bookstall there, get the Kanzul Iman. It's the best £12 or whatever that you're ever going to spend. Because read that, give it to your children, then you will know that Allah Azza wa Jal says many things about His Walis, these pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives special powers to. I'll give you another beautiful story. There was a king who came to see the great Shaykh Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala and Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. And on his way, he was thinking, well, if he's a real Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, what I'm going to ask him for is apples. And it wasn't the season for apples, and these were the old days, remember. So what happened was this king comes to the court of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that, can you get me some apples? Now he's thinking that how is this great Shaykh going to get? And suddenly Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, through his saintly miracle, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, produces two apples. Now, next what happens is even more amazing. He gives one to this person and he starts to eat it, and the other one, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, starts to eat, and he frowns because his is bitter. Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sweet. So when his is bitter, he says, why is mine bitter, but yours is sweet? So the great Shaykh says, because yours has touched the hands of a tyrant and a sinner. Allahu Akbar. There's a great lesson in that for us as well. Then, moving on from there, now the mind again starts to wonder, how can Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani produce unseasonal fruits from nowhere? How is it possible? Where is that in the Quran? And again, it comes back to the same thing. If we read the Quran and we read the tafsir, and there's a beautiful tafsir which Dawat Islami have got on their website, you can download it for free, or you can buy the books from our maktaba, very cheap as well. Siratul Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran. What a beautiful commentary of the glorious Quran. Absolutely amazing. Even people who have not been very versed in this, are not scholars, are able to understand an ayah mubarakah and understand the context and the meaning and what lessons can be learned from it. So if you look at that, Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam is actually the guardian of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what happens is that he is, because he's in charge, and so he comes in and he sees unseasonal fruits. Now this is in the glorious Quran. So he says, oh Maryam, and Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, was a waliyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, so she was a very pious, very high status friend, a waliyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, a very pious saint. Now, she says they've come from Allah. So Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, at that stage, in order to teach the world, actually stands there and prays for a son. He was quite old, he didn't have a child. And Allah, his thinking was that if Allah can give Maryam unseasonal fruits, then Allah can give me a son. He prays and Allah Ta'ala blesses him with Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. Subhanallah, an amazing prophet in his own right, Allah Azzawajal. If you ever want to read about a magnificent messenger, Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, I'm sure we'll come onto him in our series as well. So, the point was this, that when one looks at these saintly miracles, they're nothing new. Allah Azzawajal grants his pious people these powers, but these powers are not there for them to, you know, flout. What they do is they use them when they have to, but they're not proud of them. The thing they are proud of is something else. The thing that they do strive for is something totally different. The one mission of their lives, the one goal, their aim, their entire life is focused on, is this. And I'll tell you in a story, because you'll all have heard of Hazrat Datta Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajveri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, whose Mazar-e-Mubarak is in Lahore. Now, this amazing friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, this amazing wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, has many saintly miracles, but has some amazing teachings as well. And now in his teachings, there was one story where somebody came to spend some time with him. And after spending 2 or 3 years with him, the person was about to leave and he said, right, I've had enough, I'm going. And he said, I've not seen anything, so I'm going to go. So the great Shaykh, Hazur Datta Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajveri Rahmatullah Ali, says, what do you mean you've not seen anything? He said, well, I thought I'd see lots of saintly miracles from you and everything else. I've been here for 3 years. I haven't seen anything. And the great Shaykh summed everything up very beautifully. He said, in the 3 years that you've spent with me, have you ever seen me acting against the Quran and Sunnah? He said, no. You always do everything by the Quran and Sunnah. He said, that is the greatest saintly miracle. That is my miracle. And that explains it. Today, we judge the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal by their saintly miracles. No, this is not the way to do it. Look at the teachings of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu. A lot of people concentrate on the miracles of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu. There's no harm in that. But as well as that, we need to look at the teachings of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu as well. You know, he's written such amazing books that have been studied all over the world in great universities. You'd be surprised to learn that some of his texts are being taught in places like Oxford and Cambridge. They have departments dedicated to studying his works. There are scholars who write lots of theses on his works and works of other great awliyaullah. And yet, as Muslims, we are far from this. Our pious predecessors used to study all of this, and yet we are away from this. We spend all our time sitting in front of the television. When was the last time we picked up a book and read it and to learn the knowledge of the deen of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I suppose, okay, this is one of the downfalls we have, that we're in such a dire state that we haven't even read the glorious Quran. And the problem we have today is we don't want to accept the teachings of these great awliya Allah, because we have to change our life. And we're too comfortable in our lifestyles. You know, har koi maste mein zauke tan asani hai. We're intoxicated in the worldly life. You know, I don't want to work hard. I'd rather have just sit on the sofa and do nothing. Okay, if you look at the pious predecessors, if you look at the Muslims of the past, they strived hard all their lives to please Allah and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They worked hard all their lives to actually propagate the work of deen. And what have we done?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Well, I thought that we might not get to see you today, but alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you have blessed us. How are things in Malawi? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Everything's going well. It is the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and undoubtedly the blessings of Amir al-Sunnah.
MashaAllah. You know, I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard it, I was thinking, inshallah, one day I'm going to go to see Usman Bhai in Malawi. I saw a video clip of you, mashallah, that's gone viral, where I think 17 people who accepted Islam, and mashallah, you're so blessed. And I thought, God, that's the real work of deen that they're doing out there. And I made the intention, and I was saying to the viewers of Madni Channel earlier, man, inshallah, Usman Bhai will invite me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to go.
Feel at home, come anytime, Zul, inshallah. In fact, bring kafila from UK, inshallah.
And, inshallah. Inshallah. Ajah, Swami, we've been discussing the magnificent messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we had today, as they say now, Musa alayhi salam, but obviously we haven't got that much time. Now, the second topic that we had was the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, the awliya Allah. And what I wanted to, there's a lot of youngsters who are quite confused by this, and because a lot of people challenge them and say, where in the Quran is the mention of awliya Allah Azza wa Jal? So I've given the viewers of Madni Channel some examples, the Darbar of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, or the Baqiyah of Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, and Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. But what would you say, you know, to our youngsters in the UK especially, and in Europe, you know, when people challenge them and say, there's no such thing as walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can't ask the walis for help. I mean, what are your, what Madni pearls would you give on that?
So, alhamdulillah, so, you know, what you have asked is very relevant, especially regarding our youngsters. And the young generation, unfortunately, has become very much of a toy for shaitan. The reason for that is, first of all, where is it written in the Holy Quran? Where is it written in Bukhari Sharif or Muslim Sharif? So, by chance, did you read the Holy Quran? How often do you read the Quran? Had you read the Holy Quran and understood it properly? So this question wouldn't even it wouldn't even make sense in the very first place. So reading the Holy Quran would remove majority of our doubts. So anyways, when they say that where is it written in the Holy Quran makes mention of it. That there is a verse in Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That indeed upon the friends of Allah is neither any fear nor any grief. So seeking help from them, وَتَعَاذَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاذَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says that you, O Muslims, O Mu'mineen, help one another in the acts of piety and do not help one another in the acts of sins. So here the Muslims are being told to help one another. So what will be the status of awliya Allah?
And then
we see that Hazrat Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam mentions, who's my helper towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Subhanallah.
So, and Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking a helper. Look at that example. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasta'inu bisabri wa salam. Then leave alone awliya Allah. We are being told to take help, assistance from sabr and from salah. So those who educate us upon sabr and salah, what about them, subhanallah?
So subhanallah.
Will actually close the doors towards shaitan, shaitanic whispers, and the Quran is filled with examples.
I'm just going to be there because, you know, the viewers of Madhya, this is what I love about our learned scholars. You know, we had Shiraz Bhai earlier, we've got Usman Bhai now. You know, the examples I gave you were very plain and very simple. But mashallah, just in the last, you know, 1 minute, 60 seconds, mashallah, one after the other. This is why I love our scholars.
Give me so many beautiful examples from the glorious Quran and the Hadith Mubarakah within a short time. I just love listening to them. Sorry, I had to interrupt you there. I'm just enjoying this.
This is what Jamiatul Madina teaches. This is what Dawati Islam. So these youngsters, those who have such problems, I would request them to come to Dawati Islami. Inshallah, Dawati Islam is a full package. It will cover for everything. Inshallah.
Subhanallah.
But one thing I will point out is that people are, you know, causing such objections due to the fact that they say that they have died. So once they have died, how can they help us? So we should understand this concept in the light of Sharia and very logical. First of all, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah says very beautifully, "Awliya Allahi la yamutun, walakin yanquluna min darin ila darin." He says that beware, awliya Allah do not die. They actually transfer from one home to
Subhanallah.
Another. Now, we hear about, you know, when our youngsters, if they have attended any funeral salah course, or they have attended any janazah course, if they haven't, please attend, inshallah, the Marakis of Dawud Islam, you often have those. So in that, you will learn that when a mayyat, when a person dies, when a person, any person, ordinary person, when he dies, be very careful that the water temperature for ghusl should be good.
Subhanallah.
Noise there. Why? It harms the mayyat. And then yes, when the grave, he's answering to the angels and then he's hearing the footsteps. That's a normal person. Imagine the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the bodily life. A person needs ears to hear. A person needs eyes to see. But when a person passes away, so his soul is enhanced. So the hearing by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be even more powerful. The seeing can even be more powerful by the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have this misconception that after they are dead and this and that, no, no, no. It's your definition of what is dead. So if you see the definition of Imam Fakhr bin Razi, he says it is a transfer from one home to another. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the shaitanic whisper.
The amazing, you know, the ayah mubarakah that you quoted earlier, where you said that the awliya Allah neither have any fear nor grief. It was something amazing I was reading that from the commentary of that, that fear is about the future, grief is about the past. And Allah Azza wa Jal blesses these amazing personalities with such an amazing conscience and mind that they have no worries about the past of what's happened and they have no fear of the future of what has happened. So they are truly very amazing and blessed people who Allah Azza wa Jal gives powers to. I think, Usman Bey, we've unfortunately run out of time. It's been an honor and a pleasure. But I will tell the viewers of Madni Channel, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that beautiful smiling face, inshallah, in our future programs as well. Because our beloved Usman Bey, despite all his duties and all his madni activities and everything else, has mashallah promised us that he's going to try and give us a little bit of time every week on YOLO. So inshallah azza wa jal, we're going to try and take some blessings from him every week, inshallah. And so you will see a bit more of him. Jazakallah for your precious time. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've had an amazing program today. We had Shiraz Bey from Birmingham, Usman Bey from Malawi, and we discussed some very important issues. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the blessings and barakats of the great prophets and the great awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. And may we have steadfastness and sincerity in following in their footsteps. Ameen bijahin Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.